Plastics are incredible materials which have arguably transformed the quality of modern life, but they come at a huge cost, which is that because they're chemically unnatural, nature hasn't evolved an efficient way to deal with them, so they accumulate and damage the environment.
However, there are some plastic-like chemicals that are used in nature, including by plants to protect their leaves. So some bacteria do carry enzymes, which are biological catalysts, that are capable of attacking these substances. And a couple of years ago, scientists in Japan discovered bacteria carrying a mutated form of one of these enzymes that was enabling them to degrade PET, which is one of the commonest forms of man-made plastic.
Now, John McGeehan at the University of Portsmouth has assembled a 3D model of this mutant plastic-eating enzyme to understand how it works and to help him to discover how to make it work even better.
Everyone's very aware of the problem, thanks to things like David Attenborough and Blue Planet. Really horrific images, really, of plastic leaking into our oceans and residing there for a long time.
Now, why are plastics particularly resilient? Why is it very hard for a microbe to grapple with them and break them down?
Without going into too much detail, we need to understand how plastic is made in the first place. It's basically two building blocks that are pulled together to form a very strong bond. It's called an ester bond, and if you look at the label on your jacket or your fleece, you'll see the word polyester, and all that means is a long chain full of all these bonds. Now, these sorts of bonds exist in nature, and plant leaves are covered in a material called cutin that protects them from invading bacteria. That is also a natural polyester, and enzymes have evolved over millions of years to eat that material. Plastics a bit wider because they contain an aromatic compound called terephthalic acid. That gives us PET. That's where it comes from. Those things don't fit into natural enzymes very easily.
But in this paper, you're describing one particular class of microorganism that does appear to be able, or at least has taken some steps to begin to degrade these things.
It's fascinating what's happened. When we looked at the 3D structure of this enzyme, we were stunned to see how similar it was to a natural enzyme called a cutinase, the type of enzyme a bacteria used to invade a leaf cell, for example. The only difference is actually that the active site, the bit that does the chemistry, is opened up to be wider in order to accommodate this man-made substance.
This was first described by the Japanese, this class of microorganisms, wasn't it? Idionella sakaiensis.
Yes.
Where did they get it?
They actually found it in the soil and wastewater runoff of a plastic recycling plant in Japan.
And it was there, why?
Because bacteria are incredible organisms. If there's a community of bacteria and one bacterium makes a mutation to allow it to survive on a new substrate, a new food that no one else is eating, it will grow exponentially very quickly and outgrow the other bacteria. So there's a massive selection pressure within a recycling plant, for example, for anything that can eat that substrate, in this case, PET.
So you decided to ask, well, how have they endowed their biochemistry with this ability? And you found that they have altered their enzymes subtly. Is the change that they've made as good as it's going to get? Or do your models predict that actually with some further tweaks, they could become a lot more efficient?
So once you get a 3D structure, the first thing you do is compare it to the ancestral, in this case, cutinase enzyme, to see what's changed. How has it evolved? What we're doing now is to see if we can unpick what are the important parts of the enzyme and how to make it better. But the potential for doing that is now huge.
And how are you going about trying to optimise the enzyme in that way?
So we use the 3D structure as a kind of starting point. And what we do is, nowadays it's very easy to make synthetic DNA. So we can go in and make very, very specific changes, which changes the shape of the enzyme, particularly around the parts of the enzyme that recognise and bind the plastic. So that's what we're currently engaged with.
Let's hope they are successful. And with 12 billion tonnes of plastic predicted to be in landfill by 2050, we really do need that solution, and soon. That was John McGeehan, and he was discussing the work that he's just published in the journal PNAS.